word for today. It is John chapter 10, verse 17 to 21. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Amen. God is perfect. God is perfect. God is perfect. His thoughts are perfect, and his attributes are perfect, and all his works are perfect. It says it in Deuteronomy. And he reveals his perfection to those who are made perfect in Psalms. It notes it. And he is joyful. He is pleased with those whose acts are perfect. And so the title of the sermon today is Being Beside Ourselves to God. What that's referring to is it's speaking about the perfection of God. And it is talking about the faith of us who believe in such a God. And so we are believing, our faith is believing in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect. And so it is our faith is determining to become like him. And the life of our faith is, even though many may point their fingers at us, saying that we are strange, it is a life being completely over our head for Jesus. And so to those who are coming to the church for the first time, you might hear it as something strange, but this is recorded in the Bible, and this is our prayer, because it is written in the Bible that we must be beside ourselves for God. In 2 Corinthians, it says that even though you may see me as insane, it is not because I am insane, but it is for you. It is in order to reveal Jesus to you. And so I want to show you that I am completely for Jesus. So the word upright, the meaning of upright, it means to keep oneself sober. And so it means do not become drunk, but be sober and to have a clear mind. And so to be upright means to be normal and to be sober. And so everyone has their own set of values and so own set of standards. And so if you think that something is out of your standards, then people think if it goes out of their standards, then they regard it as something a little strange or a little crazy. And so there are many words that describe paranoia, people of these days, insanity. And so they are using more and more words that we haven't used in the past. So they are people are describing many different types of mental illnesses. And so it starts with one bad thought. And if you can't shake it off, you start to let go of thoughts of trying to get better. And more without your will, you start to, against your own will, you start to do things that are destructive. And eventually, such people are caught and sent to mental institutions. And for such people, there are many different programs like deprogramming to help such people, because they think that their mind has gone the other way, and so they have to work to try to get their mind to go the right way. And so in the past, people used to place someone like on a swing tire on a tree, and they used to spin them, rotate them one way, and then let them go so that they would spin back the other way, thinking that their minds will come right by spinning them physically. And so if people can actually really become normal by doing such way, then it'll be thankful, but it doesn't work that way. And Catholics, if anyone goes against their views, they used to, the people who used to go against them were burned to death. And such people were Protestants. And so if you stressed on baptism by immersion, and if you were baptized by immersion, they were thrown out of the Catholic. And And so they used to martyr people, kill people who also received anabaptism. They had said the sprinkling baptism was enough, and so they say over 500,000 people were killed regarding baptism. And so currently the most fearful religion right now is Islamic religion. So we saw in the past that they would put people in a row and behead them, and they are currently continually doing such acts. And so it spread around the media just 2-3 years ago, and they're continually doing this, executing. And so people regard them as not right, as being insane. And even in Christianity, within the different denominations, people persecute within the Christianity too, that if certain groups, their views are different from the major view, then they regard them as cults. And so even if you believe in Jesus, they say, don't believe in Jesus like an insane person, but like a normal person. So they say, let your heart be hot, but your head be cold. So in other words, they're saying, be rational, believe in a rational way. Do not believe in a crazy way. And so there are some people who do act a little crazy when they go to a prayer house, and they're saying they're hot, and they roll around saying that they're on fire by the Holy Spirit. And so they're truly crazy. And they think that that's their expression of being filled with faith and filled with the Holy Spirit. But there is statistics. People who do such acts, they're doing it because they do such acts in order to show people. And so when people speak of statistics, and when reporters speak of statistics as well, they say after interviewing certain amount of people or after serving certain amount of people, they report. And so through statistics, people allow others to see like a major view, but there's a lot of error within statistics. And so the economy and the statistics regarding economy and everything in the world, there's a lot of error in it. But there are people who believe in statistics as the truth, and that's a big error. You should only take the statistics as reference, but there are people who take it as the truth. And historically and worldwide, there were people who were truly insane, who were truly crazy for something, people who were new inventors. So in the past, we used to think that the earth stayed still and the sun moved around. The sun rose and the sun set. So after the philosophers Galileo and others, they said that the sun is not turning, but the earth is, but the earth rotates. But in the past, when they said that the sun is the one that's spun, they said it with putting their lives on the line, saying that is the truth. And so Galileo, when he came up with his theory that it's not the sun, but it's the earth, he was locked up in his home, and they were not allowed to come out because the majority thought one view. And when a new person came up with a new view, people said that he was crazy and treated them like they're insane. And not just that, but when someone is truly into something, completely into something, they say that person is crazy. But people who find out the truth or find out something, they really put their lives on the line, and their lives are threatened. But there are truly evil, wicked people who are crazy, like Hitler. There are wicked, evil, crazy people. And so there were crazy people such as Hitler, who try to set a certain view against people. And so there's Elon Musk as well. People either refer him as a genius or a madman, because in 2024, he is planning to send people onto a... And so he has created, he has plans to send people to Mars and this and that. And so many people are saying he's either crazy or a genius. But even though some people are calling madman, things that are that he is doing are becoming successful. And so people are starting to acknowledge him. And there are people who are listening to every detail, every word that he speaks. And so he has become the greatest billionaire of the world. And so whatever he says, whatever he decides, people follow after him. And so in the past, 99.9 people used to think that he was a madman, but now they're thinking, oh, he might be right. Maybe people will truly go to Mars. And this all happened because of great influence of statistics. And so we need to look at what the Bible is saying. We need to hear it. When we say Jesus Christ, who do people know him as? They think of him as a leader of a religion, but he is different from a religion of, he is different from a religious leader. I dislike monks. I don't really like monks, but no one ever calls a monk a madman. Because monks say, oh, why do people worry? Why do people put so much in the world? And so even though monks, they go around and they try to get enlightenment, and but they're never called madmen. And there have been many, many different religious leaders, but there has never been a religious leader called a madman like Jesus. And so the physical families of Jesus, even his family, thought of Jesus as a madman, as a crazy person, and try to bring him back home. And he was misunderstood by many. But Jesus, he is not just a worldwide madman, but he is universally a great madman, because he said that he is the Son of God, and he said, I am God. And so people thought, oh, is there a more crazy person than him? And so was Jesus truly a madman? Was he an insane person? We have to find out. And so I have to, even if you don't believe that Jesus is a madman, you have to be able to explain yourself about what you believe. So you need to be able to explain what you believe. And so listen carefully. And so the Bible is a record of Jesus. In other words, it's a story of Jesus. And so because the story of Jesus is in the Bible, we need to find out about Jesus. And in order to know Jesus, those who were before Jesus, those who believe in God. So through the faith of those who believed in God, the one who appeared was Jesus. And so you have to first find out what is faith. And so in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says that by faith, so in chapter 1, it says that by faith, we believe that all things were made through him. And so through the Son, that he made the universe. And so we have to believe in creationism. And so there are many believers, and there are even pastors who don't believe in creationism, but that's not important. But people say creation is not important, but you have to know who Jesus is and what great influence Jesus had. And if you just believe in that, then already, we spoke last week, if you don't know the root of Jesus, then eventually you will not be able to go to paradise. And when we take step by step, we have to first know, we believe that all things were created by his word, by the word of God. And so the Bible speaks of what is faith and who the people of faith are, what they believed. And so that is the story of the Bible. So what is the Bible? It is the story of faith. And it is a story of faith and stories of faith. So you have to believe in the creator. You have to believe in creationism, and you have to believe in the people of faith, what they believed in, what they followed. And first is the story of Noah. So Noah heard the voice of God. Noah, he did not see the things that happened. And so Noah, when he was warned about things that not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. And so to him, God said, I will give you a tip to build an ark. And so if you build an ark and have your whole family go inside, then I will save you. And so Noah heard it and obeyed. He believed. How he believed was he believed in holy fear. And so in holy fear, there is fear of God as well as reverence for God. And so he believed that it will happen as he said. And as a result, the rain came and the flood came. And it took about a year until the waters receded. And until then, though, when the whole world was covered with water, by being in the ark, Noah and his family, only they were saved. And as a result, he became the heir of righteousness, that judge that condemned the world. And so what that means is the world, they did not believe. They did not believe what God had said. And so they were all drowned in the world, in the water. And so Noah, he became the heir of righteousness. And so in 2 Samuel, seeing that Noah, he judged, he condemned the world that did not believe, to the one who was perfect, he revealed the perfection of the Lord. And so Noah, we have learned and read in the Bible that Noah is not perfect, because there were times when in the Bible where he was drunk and he was naked because of his drunkenness. And so he is not perfect in his personality, but his faith was perfect. And so what God sought was, he sought those whose faith was perfect. And because God acknowledged Noah's faith as perfect, through Noah, God revealed his perfection. Because God, he revealed that he is perfect, because what he spoke, that the rain will come and the flood will come, he pulled through with it. And so to Abraham, God told Abraham to leave your family and everything and go. And so after he left his father's hometown, he lived a life of living in tents. So he did not build a house or a shelter, but he lived in tents all of his life. And the reason why he did it was because he looked towards the tabernacle that the Lord had prepared for him. And so God, he wanted to test Abraham's faith once more. And so he commanded Abraham to give his one and only son as sacrifice. God commanded him to give your son as a sacrifice on the mountain that I commanded. And so sacrificing his son, it wasn't just killing, but it was killing and then burning him as a burning sacrifice. And so if he were to give his son as a sacrifice, there was absolutely no way for his son to be brought back to life. But Abraham did not doubt God at all, but he did as God commanded, as the Lord commanded. And when he took him to the Mount Moriah, God saw Abraham's obedience, and he said, now I know that you fear me. And so God had prepared a ram in that place, and so he allowed Abraham to give sacrifice through the ram. And he said, many descendants will after you will be blessed. And so we know Abraham as the father of faith, as the ancestor of faith. But at that time, during his time, when people saw him, they saw him as a great madman. Because he said one day God told Abraham to move. And so he doesn't know where to go, but he just goes. And so for all of his life, he lived in tents. And one day God promised him that he will bear an offspring. He will have an offspring. And it was difficult, but he did it. And another day God told him to give his son as a sacrifice, and he did so. And so with all the materials to give his son as a sacrifice, he walked for four days to the place that God commanded. And so during 4 days, as you're walking over to that place with all the preparations, he had more than enough time to think, wow, what is this crazy thing that I'm doing, God? And so how precious must have his son been to Abraham? And he could have come back to his senses, but he was completely beside himself to God. And so when he came to sacrifice his son, God saw him and said, wow, your faith, I have been moved by your faith. And so God said, I will bless your offspring, your descendants. And so all these people in the Bible who had faith in the eyes of the world, when they saw them as madmen, and Moses as well. And so Moses, he was the third in line of the throne in Egypt. And so he was in a position where he could have had honor and reign forever and for generations. But Moses said, when Moses commanded, bring my people out of Egypt. So Moses, he chose to be mistreated along with his people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And so he did this because he looked towards, he looked ahead to the one who would reward him. And so he looked ahead to the one that was invisible. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. So what faith is seeing what is invisible as if we can see it. So what is faith? It's people say, oh, I'll believe if I see it. I'll believe if you show me. But if you see it, then it's not faith. It is faith is believing in something that you cannot see. And so Moses, he did this work of faith for over 40 years. And so when Moses, he brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, the people of the Israelites, they did not hear God's word directly, but they heard the word of Moses, who heard the word of the Lord, of Jehovah. And so what happened was they crossed the Red Sea as if they were walking on land. So they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. And when they went before Jericho, the Lord commanded them that if you walk around Jericho for 7 days, then the walls will fall. And so when they walked around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, the walls came completely tumbling down and they marched inside. And so God gave them the commandments, and the commandment was to be perfect before Jehovah. And so there was another command that was ironic, which was that God detests those who were regarded as false, and God told them to put them to death. And so those who were false were those who were shamans, false prophets. God is saying put them to death. So far the people of faith seemed a bit beside themselves, a little insane, but God tells us that these are the crazy ones. And God commanded to get rid of them all. And so to the Israelites, God planted in faith, but all the Israelites, they all lost their faith, and they sinned this sin and that sin, and they fell away from their faith. And so while they were in the desert, many people, over 1,000 people, they all died on their faces in the desert. And what that describes is that God, he is not pleased with many who do not have faith. So he is not pleased with the majority that does not have faith. And so in the world, when you look at the majority, they think that the majority is correct and the majority holds the correct views. But in God, even if the majority may have all the same ideas and similar values, if you group together with the ideas and thoughts of man, God doesn't see them as, God is not pleased with them. And so God puts away, he disposes of those who do not have faith. And so this happened in the desert, and to Israel who has such history, and the tabernacle that God had them built in order to remember this for generations. The temple had the ark and it had the name of Jehovah, and it had the jar of manna. It had the jar of manna in order to remind them of the life, the 40 years of life in the desert. And so the tabernacle, the temple, it reminded them of their lives of 40, their 40 year life in the desert, and the fact that they crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land. And so through all the tools and everything in the temple, through all those things, God wanted to remind them. And so before the temple, Jesus appeared. And as Jesus appeared on before the temple, what did he say? He said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. And that's a very astonishing word too, what he has said, because how can you, they thought, how can you say destroy this temple? But not only that, Jesus said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. And so they said to themselves, what a lie. That doesn't make any sense, because it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days. And so this is when Jesus said this, they said, this, he is a complete madman. And in the Bible, it says that you need to put to death such people. And so putting Jesus to death was something that had to be done. And so Jesus didn't give just small lie, but he was completely over his head. And so people thought Jesus was fit to be killed. But Jesus, he not only said, destroy this temple, but he said, when you destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. But the temple he had spoken of was the temple of his body. So the temple that he would destroy, it was not talking about the temple of Jerusalem, but he was referring to his body, the temple of his body, that his body will be put to death. And when he rises once again, this temple, what Jesus wanted to reveal to them was that he wanted to make them look towards the Lord of faith. And so in the Old Testament, by faith, they did so many insane things. But now the captain of faith, the author of faith. So Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith, which means that he is the origin of faith and he perfects. So he is the author. So in Hebrews, it says, look to the author of faith. And so Jesus, he said, look towards me, the author and the perfecter of faith. Listen to what I am saying. And so your people, he spoke to the Israelites, through your generations, they have lived in faith, but the one who gave them that faith is me, Yeshua. So he is the one who brought up the law of faith and gave them the faith to believe. And so faith is not just a belief in their heart saying that I believe, but he made the faith a reality. And so he became the finisher of faith. And so we say that Jesus is the author and the finisher, the perfecter of faith. So let's say Jesus is the author and the perfecter, the finisher of faith. And so Jesus said, I will show you this. He said, I will show this to you through my resurrection. So destroying this temple and raising it again in 3 days, it is having his body that he will be raised from the dead. And so when Jesus spoke, destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days, he was speaking of the temple of his body, rising, resurrecting again. And so Jesus, he spoke such insane words. And so to the Israelites who heard this, it became such crazy words of an insane person. But during his public life, Jesus, he casted out demons. In Korea, even just a few years ago, a few decades ago, people used to think that there were ghosts. And so there were virgin ghosts who would have long black hair and who were holding knives in their mouth. So people used to think that those were ghosts and demons. And so in the past, toilets were restrooms, bathrooms were outside of the house. And so if you had to go to the bathroom, you had to go outside where it was dark and the winds were blowing. And so because you had to go, you would go, and sometimes it would feel like someone's pulling on their hair. And so where these ghosts are, they used to say that the ghosts are above the bathrooms and their long hair is in front of the doors. And so if you stepped on their hair, they would drag you away and kill you. And so these days, I don't know about how Korea now. And so in Korea, there are a lot of astonishing things in Korea, but in the Bible, there are many instances where Jesus casts out demons. So the word ghosts is referring to a non-religious world. It's a secular word that is used in non-religious texts. But people say, many people, when they spoke of demons in the Bible, people used to say, oh, what are you talking about, demons in the Bible? But there are the word demons comes out about 90 times in the Bible. But Jesus, he casted out demons, and people who were insane, after casting out demons, they became normal. And the blind were able to see. And so miracles were happening. And so people said, what's going on? People said, we thought he was crazy, but now he's casting out demons. And as he's casting out demons, people are becoming healed. And so they thought, who is he? Is he a liar? Is he a madman? And so those people used to say these things of Jesus. And so they said, oh, but now he's casting out demons. But and so as when they saw Jesus casting out demons, they said, he is casting out demons by Beelzebub. And so Jesus said, if Satan drives out Satan, how can his kingdom stand? And so if you think that Jesus said that, if you're saying that I am casting out demons by Beelzebub, then it doesn't make sense. But I am casting out by the word of God, and because I am from God, and because God gives me the strength, the power to be able to cast out, by his power I am doing it. And so as Jesus casted out demons, the demons would say, I know who you are. You are the Holy Son of God. And because they would testify this, the Jews, when they heard this, they were in great confusion, because they said, is he a genius, or is he truly a son of God? Who is he? And so what else Jesus said that drove the Jews crazy was that he said, I am the bread. I am the bread of heaven. The Son of Man is the living bread from heaven. Your ancestors ate by the manna in the desert. But the Son of Man, when the Son of Man gives you life, Jesus said that I will give you my flesh to make you live through me, the living bread. And so when they heard this, this was the craziest thing that Jesus said, because they said, are we cannibals? How are you going to give us your flesh? We don't even eat pigs. So how are you telling us to eat your flesh? And so they said, he's becoming more and more crazy. And so they were not able to believe him. So insane people, when they're crazy, even if you hit them, they don't realize that they're in pain, because their mind is not right. And so in Korea, there was a person who was possessed by a demon, and someone hit him so much that he died. And so you're hitting the person, but the demon, they said, this person who was insane, they said they thought that they needed to cast out the demon by beating a man up. And so they put on rubber gloves and they beat him to the point where he was bruised, completely black and blue, and the blood inside his brain burst, and so he died. And so people would have a misunderstanding in such way, but when Jesus said this, they said he must be put to death. So in order to put Jesus to death so that no one would feel bad for him, they crucified him to the cross and made him die such a gruesome death. And so Jesus, after he spoke all his things, Jesus, he said, when the Son of Man comes, when the Son of Man returns, will he see faith? And so Jesus Christ, he said, even though you are trying to kill me, even though I will die, I will rise again, and as I rise, when the time comes, I will return. And so Jesus spoke this, and not even his disciples at the time, they did not believe. So the Jews, the disciples were not able to believe, so the Jews were definitely unable to believe. And so Jesus, he said, when the Son of Man returns, will I see faith? What that meant was, it is that difficult to find faith. And so they mocked him, and they killed him with such suffering. And at the end of his death, he said, it is finished. And so Jesus, as he died with by the command of the Father, and according to the command of the Father, the reason why he died in such a way was that if he lay his lays his life down, then the Father would raise his life up again. And so Jesus died. The reason why Jesus died was in order to rise again, to resurrect. And so when the people of the world think of that, they say, that's completely crazy. He's not dying from illness, but he is dying, pouring out all of his blood. After you pour out all of your blood on the cross, how can you rise again? And so they said he is completely insane. And so as he died in the eyes of the world, he died because he was crazy. So even if I am to become insane, it is for the Father, for the glory of the Father, and for the resurrection. And so Jesus said, if I am to be perfect, it is for you. And so Jesus, he did not die without consciousness, but Jesus, he knew what kind of sufferings would come for him, what hardships, what shame would come to him. But Jesus, he took it on knowingly. And so even though he was beside himself, he did it to God. And so he did not lose his consciousness, but he decided to receive all the pain and all the suffering in his right mind. And because Jesus knowingly took on this, he paid the price of the sin of all mankind. And by sprinkling his blood, just as he is perfect before God, he has allowed us, he died in such a way so that he could make us perfect before God. And so Jesus completed his work. And in 3 days, just as he spoke, the Father kept his promise. And so he resurrected, he rose. He brought Jesus back to life. And so if you believe in the resurrection, say amen. And so if you believe this, you believe that Jesus is not a madman, but that he is the truth and that he spoke the word of truth. And so he showed that he is the normal. He is normal, but people still didn't believe, and no matter what, he rose and he ascended to heaven. And in order to make many believe in this, he sent the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit comes to believers who believe that Jesus died and he resurrected. They also believe that God is the creator and that Jesus died and resurrected. And to those who believe that he is living right now, the Holy Spirit came. And so the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit has come as the Lord commanded, as the Lord has sent. It is very joyful. So after hearing all this, we realize they truly must have seemed like a madman in the eyes of the world. But Jesus, he said, the moment he resurrected, he said, "Here I am." They realized, oh, he wasn't a madman, but he is normal. And so Jesus, he said, "I will send you the Holy Spirit in a few days." And after receiving the Holy Spirit, they realized, oh, he is truly living. And all the words that Jesus spoke were words of the truth. And so they came to be able to believe in all the words that he had spoken. And so it is holding the Lord Jesus Christ as the example of my life. And so it is holding him as a pattern of my life. And so Jesus, he was not ashamed. And so in order for us to not be ashamed as well, he has promised and sent the Holy Spirit. And so let me ask, whether it's our family or our coworkers, when people point their finger at us for going to church and for believing in Jesus, raise your hand if someone has ever said to you that you're insane, that you're crazy for believing in Jesus and for going to church. On the other hand, raise your hand if no one has ever said that to you. So is it normal to not have someone say such things? Or is it normal to have someone say that you're crazy and that you're even persecuted, that you're even cursed, and you're even you're even kicked out, all the things that you have that they're taking away, you did it all because of Jesus. You don't do it because you're actually insane, but it's because you want to speak like Jesus, live like Jesus, and obey as Jesus said. And those who are persecuted because of what Jesus has said, heaven will be their inheritance. Heaven is theirs. And the reason is because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of Jesus. In Acts, it says that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit equals Jesus. And so the spirit of Jesus, even in the world, if you do some things that are a little out of the norm, they say, oh, they're crazy, they're possessed. And so if we receive the Holy Spirit, then we need to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. And so if we're truly filled with the Holy Spirit, then you are filled, you are completely possessed 100%. But if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then the work, then the influence of the Holy Spirit is only maybe 10%. But the Bible tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus. So the Spirit of Jesus, so Jesus died, he resurrected, and he ascended, and he sits on the throne. And when he said that, I will send you the Holy Spirit, he was speaking of the Spirit that who was in him that he would send. And so if I receive the Holy Spirit, it means that I receive the Spirit of Jesus. And so if I receive the Spirit of Jesus, then I need to think that I am like Jesus. And so people on the outside, there's nothing that has changed in me. But in me, but inwardly, I have the Spirit of Jesus. And so if I've been possessed by Jesus, then I need to do the works of Jesus. And so shamans and like witch doctors, they sing, they do like soul singing, saying certain spirit came or this person came. And so when a person who is possessed, they come to like a shaman saying, this person died unfairly, and they cry, the shamans, they cry together saying that they feel the spirit. But if we have been possessed by the Spirit of Jesus, it's a very worldly description, but Jesus sent the Holy Spirit in order for us to be possessed by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of Jesus, and for us to speak like Jesus, to act like Jesus, and to live like Jesus, and to die like Jesus. And that's what the work of the Holy Spirit does. And so if you receive the Holy Spirit, think about how much we are possessed by the Holy Spirit. So in the church, you act like you are remaining in Jesus, and outside you act like you have nothing to do with Jesus. So whether you're home, whether you're at church, wherever you are, whether you are alone, you are one who has been possessed by the Spirit of Jesus. You want to speak only things of Jesus. You want to do only things of Jesus. And through me, I want to reveal Jesus. And so in the world, wouldn't they say that you're crazy? And so the more you hear such things, you shouldn't be ashamed. So when you hear of such things, you shouldn't be ashamed, but you should say, oh, I must really be like Jesus. Hallelujah. So people say, will Jesus feed you? Will Jesus, have you been to heaven? How do you know? But even though we haven't been to heaven, we believe that Jesus is there. And the Holy Spirit who was there has come into me, and he gives us assurance every moment, every second. He teaches us that we must return there. And so Stephen died in such a way, because that young man, after receiving the Holy Spirit, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he proclaimed that you must believe in Jesus, that in order to be saved, if you don't, then you will go to hell. And so he spoke of all the histories of the ancestors who did not believe. And so the Jews, when they heard this, they couldn't take it, and they dragged him out. And so even though they were putting him to death, even though they were stoning him to death, he did not stop, but he kept continuing to testify. And he looked up to heaven, and what he said as he looked towards heaven was that he said that I see the Son of Man. Stephen, he looked up towards heaven and said, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And so he was stoned to death. And so people looked at him and said, such a young man, he should have just died peacefully. But they mocked him. And so the one who saw such event was Paul, was Saul. And so Stephen, he spoke of everything starting from the Old Testament to the current, to Jesus, and everything that he spoke was exactly correct. He realized, Saul, as he heard this, he realized that the Jesus that the prophet spoke about was Jesus. And so there are very few people who probably have truly become completely insane, completely beside himself like Paul for Jesus. So don't you want to become someone like Paul? And so Paul, just like Stephen, he went towards the scholars and the Jews and proclaimed Jesus. And they also said, "You are crazy." And Paul said, "I am not crazy, but do you believe in the prophets? Do you believe in the prophecies that they spoke? What I am speaking has only been regarding what the prophets spoke and what Moses spoke. And so what they prophesied and who they were trying to show, reveal, was Jesus. And so when they heard of Paul saying all these things, they eventually put Paul to death. And so the Bible very clearly tells us that he is not pleased with the few who do not, with the majority that do not have faith, but he is pleased with the few who do have faith. So God, he is not pleased with the majority who do not have faith, but he is pleased with the few who have faith, even if it may be just one. And so when people first come to our church, they say, "Oh, what kind of church is this?" They say, "Oh, this church must be a cult." And so our church is different from the majority of the churches in the world, because the things that we do is different from the majority of the world. They say, "You are a cult," or "You're crazy." But God, he will dispose of the majority that do not have faith, but those who have truly kept, he will take only those who truly have faith, the few that have faith. And so you must have faith, and you need to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So that means you need to be completely beside yourself for God, for Jesus. So raise your hand if you have truly told someone that "I am completely crazy for God, that I am completely crazy for heaven, that I am completely crazy for the blood of Jesus." And the more you say this, if people see me as insane for God, for Jesus, then you should be joyful. It's because the pastor is completely beside herself for God. And so if there are any new people here today, they might see us and say, "Oh, they're really crazy." But the fullness, being filled with the Holy Spirit, that means if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you see the Bible through the lens of Jesus, and you can't accept anything else in yourself except for Jesus. So only Jesus can make me pleased. Only Jesus can make me glad, and only Jesus can fill me up. So do you want to be such a person? Do you want to be a refined person in the world, or what kind of person do you want to be? And so a few days ago, a person, he said, "Our church is this and this church. We will not force service on you. And so if you want to come, then come. And especially tithing, we will not make it mandatory. So we will treat you as refined people, cultivated people. So do whatever you want." So such a pastor said this recently. But for us, we have determined to become completely beside ourselves for Jesus. So those who are completely insane for something, they are joyful. So within what they are completely into, they are very joyful because of it. And so when I was younger, I used to play sports, and I used to play ball until the sun would go down and it became so dark that you couldn't see the ball anymore. And when I was completely crazy for swimming, I swam how to float first, and after 25 days of the swimming classes, I swam through a very great lake in Korea. It's very large, very wide. And so my mom would say, that's enough. But I couldn't stop. I would get sunburned to the point where my skin was being exposed, my inner skin tissues was being exposed, but I was so crazy for it that I would be so crazy for it. And I was completely into novels. And so I would read novels, stay up all night reading novels. And I was into music, and I would read night and day. And so I borrowed a music player from a family. And as I started listening to it, it was so interesting. And I was so into it. And so my brother-in-law, he would say, why are you taking someone else's things and using it? But I was so into music that I would take his, borrow his, and listen to it night and day. And so people who are crazy in the world, they go to a certain point and they give up. But after knowing about Jesus, after knowing this truth about Jesus, I realized how worthless all the time that I spent for the things of the world was. So even if it's been over 40 years, I can't give this up, because the moment, the day that I give this up, it'll be hell for me. And so I will run. I will run towards every day. I will beat myself every day in order to run the race. And so God, he gave me the Spirit by revelation, and he allowed me to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so I am very thankful. And so I realized when I'm falling back even just a little. And so when I fall back a little, I repent again and again that I may only think of Jesus. Let only the ways and the methods of, and the way that Jesus went through, let only those thoughts be filled in my mind. And I pray that he will allow me to think of only the day that when he will return. So Christianity, we cannot believe until the end unless we are completely beside ourselves. Because the author and the Lord of our faith, Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he was regarded as one who was insane. And so I must be one who is regarded as insane, that I need to become filled with the Holy Spirit to that point. So at this moment, the people of faith that the Bible is speaking of, let's pray that I will become, that I will have a faith where people of the world will point their fingers at me saying that I am crazy. Let's pray.